Amen. So this morning, y'all, we're going to conclude our sermon series, Join the Move, Experiencing God in Real Time. Here's the truth. Oftentimes when we come to Scripture, y'all, we see God, the God of the Old Testament, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We see the God of the New Testament, the one that called the disciples and all of that. But do you not know that God is calling you in real time right now? That he's the God of the sacred scriptures, the God of the Bible, but he's the God of the right now. He's a real and personal God. And if God called you, if God saved you, God saved you and me for a purpose and for a reason. What's going on, Niece? How you doing? Good to see you in the house today. Amen. Amen. She was one of the vendors out there selling nowhere. Good to see you this morning. Amen. But God called you for a reason. And so this sermon series has been based upon a study that we've been doing on Wednesday nights, right? Experiencing God, knowing and doing the will of God. That this series is to awaken us to a radically God-centered life, our lives focused on him, and to recognize God's voice. There are so many voices in this world that speak to us on a daily basis. Can you discern and hear and understand and know the voice of God? Jesus said, my sheep, they hear my voice, and another voice they will not follow. And so a part of it is for us to experience a deeper relationship with God where he reveals his way, his wills, and his work for our lives. So turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, y'all, quickly to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, we'll read verse 7 through 15 in your spare time and your quality time, your devotion time. Y'all know the story, but read it again. It's a good story. It's the story of Moses at the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3, amen, verses 7 through 15. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. And it reads thus. Then the Lord told him, I've certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. God is aware of your suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile, spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. The land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I've seen how harshly Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? God answered, I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. But Moses protested. If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask, what is his name? Then what should I say? What should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to be remembered, my name to remember for all generations. Encourage our hearts this morning from the thought, sermon subject, crisis at the crossroads. Crisis at the crossroads. As many of you know, I've often told my story about my journey to the start of this ministry. I won't get into the details of it, but it's that familiar story that many of us have. It's the Jonah story. That God reveals himself, God speaks, that we hear God, we hear him clearly in what he's saying to us. But rather than obey God, we tuck tail, we're afraid, and we run. That's a part of my story. I don't think I'm alone. That God speaks, y'all, and oftentimes we stand at the crossroads in life where we either choose to obey God or not. And thank God for his grace. Hallelujah, somebody. But Henry Blackaby, in his book, Experiencing God, calls it this, the crisis of belief. Now crisis in this sense, it's in the Greek, it's not what we think. When we think of crisis, we think of calamity. We think of disaster. When we think of crisis, we think of this horrible thing that's happened. That's not what it means in the Greek. It really means to separate. Crisis means to decide. It means to choose between two things or to judge between two things. Crisis. Think about the fork in the road where you have to decide to go one way or the other. The crisis of belief is where you decide what you truly believe about God. I got to say that again. I'll keep repeating it. The crisis of belief is where you decide what you believe and what I believe about God. Can I ask you a question this morning? What do you really believe about God? What do you believe about what God can do in your life? What do you believe about what God wants to do through you and me? Well, here's the thing. The way we live our lives, y'all, it's a testimony. It's a testimony to what we really believe about God. Let me ask you again, what do you really believe about God? Don't play. What's in your heart about God? What do you really believe that God can do for you and through you? Because oftentimes, y'all, we stand at this intersection of faith and doubt, belief and unbelief, God's desires and our desires, God's way and our way. Well, what do you believe about God? Listen, this crisis of belief, it's an ongoing process. We deal with it every day. Yeah. Every day God is speaking to you and to me. God is calling us into his work, but what will we do? Yeah. Will we hear his voice? Will we obey? Or will we do things our way? Listen, newsflash. After my own personal Jonah experience with God, where God clearly spoke to me and said, listen, I have a work for you to do right here in San Antonio, Texas, y'all. I took tail, I packed up all of my stuff with my wife, and I moved to Memphis, Tennessee, y'all. But it was there at FedEx that God confronted me and said, I didn't call you to this. I called you to something different. So 18 months later, y'all know this, we packed up everything. I praise God for my wife. I praise God for a patient wife. We packed up everything, moved back to San Antonio, Texas. And after a process of time, we started what God called us to do in terms of this ministry. Amen. So look at the testimony of what God has done today. Yeah. So y'all, it proves well to obey God the first time around. Amen, somebody. So here's the question this morning. Will you choose the highway of God's way or the low road of your own way? Every single life, at some point, you're going to come to the crossroads of life. That it's that uncertain moment when you got to choose to go where God wants you to go. You have to choose God's leading and not your own. It's the place, y'all, where comfort collides with calling. That fear wrestles with faith and excuses meet obedience. In the book today, Moses is at a crossroad in his life. 40 years he's been in the wilderness. The same Moses, y'all, that lived in Pharaoh's palace, y'all, he lived in the lap of luxury, y'all. He had it going on. But y'all know the story. Y'all know Moses' story. You've seen it on television and in cartoons. That listen, here's Moses. He's a Hebrew. And one day he looks out, he sees an Egyptian beating another Hebrew. What does Moses do? He gets angry, he kills the Egyptian. You can't hide nothing from God. And so another day he sees two Hebrews struggling against each other. And so he tries to break up the fight, and one of them says, who do you think you are, man? No way, I saw you when you killed that Egyptian, you hid him in the sand. The Bible says that Moses got afraid and he ran away. So again, he finds himself in the wilderness for some 40 years. I would think by this time that Moses' dreams had begun to fade, that his confidence perhaps was shattered, that those past mistakes of what he did, that they haunted him. That Moses is out here tending to these sheep one day, and all of a sudden that day becomes extraordinary. What happens? A bush catches on fire, but it didn't burn up. In that very moment, God was calling Moses. Moses was having an encounter with God that changed his life, but not only his life, it changed the future of an entire generation. Y'all, the same is true for us. that God often calls us. We have to meet God at the crossroads of life. I think it was Bone Thugs and Harmony that had something. The crossroads, meet me at the crossroads, at the cross. Bone, bone, bone. Y'all know the story. Y'all know. Some of y'all know it. Some of y'all don't play with me. Y'all know. Bone Thugs and Harmony. At the crossroads. That we have to meet God at the crossroads. That God will, he interrupts your routine. And God will reveal his purpose. And God invites us to join him in his work, not I, but his. I found out something, that following God requires sacrifice. And following God is not always easy. But if you love God and you're really surrendered to him, listen, you will follow him wholeheartedly. That you have to follow wherever God leads. Every encounter with God creates a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. God didn't just call you to sit down. God called you to serve him. But the question this morning, will you serve him? Will you trust him? Will you obey him? And will you move forward? Because what we do in response to God's revelation reveals what we truly believe about God. I got to say it again. Because what you do in response to God's revelation, what he reveals to you, what he shows you, shows what you truly believe about God. What is God showing you in your life in this moment? What is God asking you to do? What is God asking you to give up? Where is God asking you to go? What you truly believe about God will show up in the way you live for God. And so Moses' story, y'all, it serves as an encouragement for us today. I believe Moses' story, y'all, can help us when we find ourselves at those crossroads, when we have to decide, we have to make a judgment, we have to make a decision. Are we going to do it our way or God's way? I want us to first understand this, that faith steps towards the fire. Faith will step towards the fire. What are you talking about, preacher? An encounter with God, y'all, requires faith. An encounter with the true and the living God, it requires faith because God's going to ask you to do something. So Moses notices this burning bush and said, listen, and I got to go see this. I'm looking at this bush up there on the mountain. It's on fire, but it's not being consumed. The fire is just on it. You think about what Moses could have done. He could have just ignored it. Hey, listen, it's something burning up there. I don't know. He could have dismissed it. He could have stayed comfortable. He could have stayed comfortable. He could have stayed where he was. He could have stayed comfortable. Just tending to the sheep, y'all. But the reality was God was calling. If something happens when God calls. People, how do you know God called you to preach? How do you know God called you to pastor? Because there's something about the call of God. And sometimes you cannot explain it with mere word, but you know when God calls and you got to answer. And this burning bush is so important. It symbolizes something. This burning bush, y'all, it symbolizes the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the power of God. The burning bush, it symbolizes the glory, the majestic glory of God, the presence of God. The fire burned, but it did not consume the bush. Y'all got to get this. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and Deuteronomy 4 that God is a consuming fire. That God is a consuming fire in his holiness and his righteousness and his justice. And God will deal with sin. God is an all-consuming fire. But catch the image in the picture. This week, bramble bush sitting on a mountain is burning, but it is not consumed. There's a message in the burning bush that the God of grace, the God of mercy, the God who is the all-consuming fire wants to save his people. That's what he talks to Moses about. I'm sending you to save my people. I will not consume them, burn them up. I will save them. I will deliver them. That God is giving Moses a plan of redemption and not retribution. And we ought to be glad about that. Yes. Have you ever thought about the fact that God is a consuming fire? Yes. That God can burn up any and everything. And God will deal with sin. But thank God for Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Lord. The faith steps towards the fire. Every genuine encounter with God requires faith. You cannot experience God while remaining spiritually passive. Did you hear what I said this morning? You can't have a real experience with God and just stay passive. Well, I'll just sit here. That God will interrupt your routine, y'all. God will speak through your burdens. He'll speak through your convictions, through your circumstances, or your pain. But God will speak. He'll speak through worship. But when God draws you near, when God draws you, faith shows up too, and faith must respond. Let me ask you, is your faith responding to what God is calling you to do in this season and in this moment? Many of us know the scripture in Hebrews. It says, without faith, what is it? It is impossible to please God. That faith is stepping towards God, even when you don't fully understand what God is calling you to do. He didn't call you to fully understand. Just take one step, and the next step, and the next step. Moses didn't know, y'all. He just going to the burning bush to see what's up. But God was calling him. And Moses moved towards God. He moved towards the bush anyway. Have you ever thought about this? How firefighters are called to, when they see smoke in a burning building, y'all, they're called to run towards the burning building while everybody else is running away. I believe that faith runs towards God when other people run away. Faith is not standing at a distance, y'all. It's stepping towards the fire. And it's for a reason that a fireman, he will go towards the fire because the fireman knows there are great things at stake. We run towards God. We respond to God in faith because there's a whole lot at stake. There are people that don't know Jesus Christ and the pardon of their sin, and God is calling you and me to reach them. Will you run towards the fire? Will you run towards God? Will you serve God faithfully and truly? Some people are standing at the crossroads today. Your fear is the same, but what if? What if this? What if that? What if everything changes? Let me tell you something. When you have a true encounter with God, everything always changes. When God saved me, everything changed. When God delivered you, everything changed. When God raised you to a new life, everything changed. When you serve the truth, everything changes in your life. Nothing can remain the same. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed. Behold, all things have become new. Everything changes in your life. Moses stepped toward the fire by faith. He encountered God and he quickly realized something else. God was not inviting him into something small. God is a big God. God-sized encounters always lead to God-sized assignments, y'all. So if God called it, God can carry it. If God called it, God can carry it. If God called you to it, God will see you through it. God will equip you and give you what you need to do what God called you to do. Encounters with God are God-sized, y'all. Do you not know that? Encounters with God are big. They are God-sized. Go to Pharaoh, Mo. Go to who? Yeah, Pharaoh. I said Pharaoh. That mighty king that could snuff you out in a minute. Go to Egypt, that great nation that could stomp you out like a flea. Mo, I'm calling you to go to set my people free. You must lead my people. That's a message to Moses. But I believe that's a message to every believer. Yeah. Because he wants you and me to lead somebody to him. Yes. He wants you and me to lead somebody into a saving relationship. An impossible assignment. This is an impossible assignment for one man. Moses couldn't do this by himself. The task was far beyond what Moses could ever do, far beyond his ability. But that's exactly the point, beloved of God. When God calls you, the assignment will often, it's beyond your resources. It's beyond your strength. It's beyond your ability. But that's the point. Y'all, because if we could do it by ourselves, y'all, if we could do it in our own strength, y'all, we'd get the big head, wouldn't we? Oh, look what I did. I bought it. We can't save nobody. I know that wasn't the right vernacular. We can save no one. We can lead people by sharing the gospel to a saved, but we can't, only God can do that. That's a God-sized task. God-sized assignments are designed to force us to depend upon God. Mother, everything we do for God, we got to depend upon him. Whatever he calls us to do, we got to depend upon God. That you can't do it in your own strength. You cannot do it in your own power. You cannot do it in your own wisdom. The crisis of belief happens when God's invitation becomes bigger than our own comfort zone. Y'all know how we get. God calls us, yeah, but God, I'm going to do it like this because this is easy for me. That God didn't call us to the comfortable. If God called it, God can carry it. And y'all, so the story, Moses begins to make excuses, y'all. He said, but Moses protested. It's verse 11. Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? It sounds real humble. He's just, Pharaoh's the man. I'm nobody. Let me say to my, I ain't nobody. That wasn't humility. That was fear. Moses focused more on his limitations than God's presence. And beloved, I'm afraid sometimes we do that. That God calls us to do it, and we're more focused on us and our inadequacy and our limitations rather than what God can do through us. But notice God's answer. God said, I'm going to be with you, Mo. I'm just abbreviating his name, y'all. Moses. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Said, Moses, you're enough because I'm enough. That God is everything you need. And our God will supply all of our need according to his riches in glory. I think about Jesus in Matthew 14 and the feeding of the 5,000. That the people were hungry, y'all. And Jesus takes 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, y'all. And he feeds 5,000 men, not including the women and the children. But notice what Jesus does in Matthew 14. He takes the bread, he lifts it to God. And he breaks the bread. And he breaks the bread, and he breaks the bread, and he breaks the bread. And before you know it, everybody's got full stomachs. I heard Oswald Chambers say, that great prayer warrior, that all of us are called to be broken bread and poured out wine. Can you allow God to break you, to use you for his glory? Can you allow God to break you and use you for his purpose? Can you allow God to break you to help somebody else get out of bondage and get out of trouble? Can you stand the breaking of God so God can do in you and through you what God wants to do and only God can do? Yes, Lord, yes. Mo, I'm with you. I got you. That God specializes in giving people big assignments. I found out something. If the vision is bigger than you, it's probably from God. If it's bigger than what you do, it's probably from God. So don't shrink from your calling, beloved. Don't stay in the comfort zone. If God called you to it, God will see you through it. God will help you. Every assignment from God requires dependence on God. Everything he calls you to do requires dependence on him because you cannot do it by yourself. If God called it, God can carry it. So Moses heard the invitation. He saw the burning bush. Moses received his assignment. But then comes that defining moment, Mother Butterfly, good to see you this morning. Would Moses believe God enough to respond to the calling of God? Because your response to God's revelation always reveals what you truly believe about him. Your response reveals your reality, what you really believe about God. So what you do in response to God's revelation, it shows what you really believe about God. This is the heart of the crisis of belief. We end on this crisis of belief. This is what I remember more than anything about this study experience, the crisis of belief. I find myself there a lot. So Moses is questioning, what if they don't believe me? Who should I say sent me? Moses is really saying, listen, God, can you really be trusted? We do the same thing. We try to put it on ourselves. It's not you, God. It's me. But if God saves you, if you really are a new creation, if God dwells on the inside of you, what can you not do that God called you to do? It's a trust issue. Do we trust that God is who he say he is? That he can do what he says he can do? In and through you and me, and yes, he can if we allow him to do it. We all face this question when God calls us to forgive. Can you trust God? When God calls you to serve, can you serve him faithfully? when God calls you to give or to lead or go to the unfamiliar, can you trust God enough to do what God is calling you to do? Your response reveals your belief. It's easy to trust God, y'all, than the comfortable. I found that out. When everything is hunky-dory and going well in your life. But what happens when God really puts a call on you and God is speaking to you? Will you respond to God? Will you respond to God in faith? Will you obey God? Obedience, y'all, is costly. It costs something. Your response reveals your reality, what you really believe about God. Notice God's response in the text, y'all. What does he say? Moses, tell him, I am who I am. I love that. That God is everything you need, everything I need to do what he's called us to do. That he is the great I am. You don't move forward based on your own ability. You move forward based on God's identity. Yes. Who is God? The old folks said that he's bread when you're hungry. He's water when you're thirsty. He's a bridge over trouble. Why? He's a doctor in a sick room. He's a lawyer in a courtroom. God will be everything you need. Now think about a child, y'all, jumping into their father's arms. They don't trust in their own ability to jump. They trust in the Father's ability to catch them. I want to let somebody know God will catch you. If you run to him and jump, God will catch you. As you're serving him so faithfully and lesson, it's not always easy serving God. People will talk about you. People will scandalize your name. People will put you down. It gets hard. The enemy will be on you, but God will catch you. God will hold you and God will keep. Do you have confidence and faith in the true and the living God to do what God says he will do in your life? When you know who God is, you can trust him where you are. Amen. If he called you, he'll catch you. Yes, if he called you, he'll keep you. Yes. If he called you, he'll strengthen you. If he called you, he will give you supernatural ability to do what he called you and me to do. Your response reveals your reality. And a whole lot of people, y'all, they get stuck at the crossroads. Because they don't understand God's full plan. God didn't give them the details. God, I'm standing here. I heard you speak. Now, God, I need A, B, C, and D. All the way down to Z. But that's not how God works. Any witnesses in the house today? For real, though. That's not how God works. Abraham, go. Where I'm going? Just go. Go south. Go where I'm. One step at a time, beloved. Just take one step at a time. That's what God does. I believe if God showed us a whole picture of what he's doing, he'd blow our mind, y'all. Yeah. We get scared and we tuck tail. We be in that, we get stuck in that wood. But what if? What if? What if? God will call you to do something, y'all, and we respond in obedience. Just one step at a time. Just take the next step, beloved. Because the question is, it's not, do I understand everything? The real question is, do I trust God? Do I trust God for the next step? I trust God for the next breath. I trust God for the next movement in this ministry. I trust God in everything. Moses heard. He heard God. He saw his power. He received God's promise. But eventually, y'all, it gets to the nitty-gritty. That this conversation, y'all, that it has to go beyond conversation and take action. That true faith moves. Anybody believe that today? True faith has to move. Faith that moves changes everything. True faith requires action. Mo, you got to move out, man. You can't stay here at the burning bush. I'm sure Moses would have loved to just stay in the presence of God. Stay on Mount Sinai in the presence of God as God spoke to him. In that thunderous and loud and powerful voice, he probably would love just stay right here. But the burning bush was not his destination. It was simply preparation for obedience. Moses, you got to take the next step. And yeah, too many, it's the truth. We love these inspirational moments. We love to come to church, y'all, where we lift up our hands and we shout with voices of triumph, and we ought to do that. We love the inspirational moments, but we resist transformational obedience. After you finish clapping and shouting and dancing, and you go outside the walls of the church, and God is calling you to do something, to love your wife the way you should, are you doing what God called you to do? To love your husband the way you're supposed, are you doing what God called you to do? to stop slipping, dipping, and tripping. Do you obey God and do what God is calling you to do? We love the inspirational. We love to shout, y'all. But do we love obedience to God? It has to be primary in our lives. Faith is not just agreeing with God, but acting on what God said. That's true faith. James says faith without works is dead. Real faith walks and not just talks. Real faith obeys, y'all. At some point, Moses had to leave the mountain and take some steps, y'all. And that's what we have to do. When God is coming, we got to take the first step, y'all. We got to move out. Faith that moves, it changes everything. A person can feel good, y'all. Feel good sitting in a rocking chair. Just rocking. But y'all found out something about a rocking chair? It goes absolutely nowhere. And I'm afraid too many people live their lives believe that we rocking. That, y'all, we singing. And we're praising, and we're dancing, and we're shouting, and we're inspired, and we go to church, y'all, but we go nowhere. We clap, y'all, we do all of that, but God wants obedience. When God calls you, God calls you to do something. If I like, that's the fear for it. I know when God's calling me, he's going to ask me to do something. And the reality, I'm probably not going to want to do what God is asking me to do. It works that way, y'all. I'm a living testimony. I'm a living witness to it, y'all. There are people that, you know, it's their light to start a ministry, y'all. That's their heart. Since they're 5, 6, 7, they want to be preachers. They want to be pastors. That wasn't my experience. When God called me, he drugged me, y'all. He had to drag me. You going, whether you going, you going to do what I ask you. You going to do what I called you to do. That's my experience. That's my experience. What step of obedience is God asking you to take? Is he asking you to forgive? Will you obey him? Is he asking you to serve him in some specific way? Is God asking you to trust him financially? Because he said he would supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. Are you trusting God for your finances? Is God asking you and me to share our faith? Are we willing to do that for real though? Even if people talk about us, they look at us strange, it's okay. It's better to serve God. Let go of your fears. Let go of that sin. Let go of that thing that God is asking you to let go and serve God faithfully. I believe the greatest tragedies in life aren't failures, but missed opportunities, beloved. So many missed opportunities to serve God. We miss so many opportunities to serve the true and the living God. Perhaps some of you heard the expression, the adventure of a lifetime. An adventure of a lifetime is this extremely exciting experience in our lives. Y'all know. It's that long dream vacation that we've wanted. It's that dream job, that success that we want. That adventure of a life, y'all, it's that profound moment, that deep connection that leaves us with a deep sense of awe, its appreciation and fulfillment in our lives. We want the adventure of a lifetime, y'all. I found out something, and kind of give you my personal testimony, that when you stand at the crossroads of life, like Moses, when one road leads to comfort, when one road leads to our way, the other leads to God's calling, choose the right road, beloved. Choose God's way. I believe you experience the adventure of a lifetime, the true adventure of a lifetime. When you choose God and his assignment for your life, and that assignment has to deal with redemption, y'all, that God wants people to be saved, that God will show up in a powerful way, that God will order your steps when you answer his call. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. When you delight in his way, God, even when you fall, God will pick you up again. That you don't need a map with God, that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, y'all. That you'll stop wondering, y'all, you'll start walking in purpose, y'all, when you choose God's way. It's the adventure of a lifetime. That God will show up. I know he'll show up, and God will fight your battles. That you can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That God will act and move on your behalf and my behalf. That God will open doors that no man can close, y'all. People will try to block you. People will scandalize your name. People will put you down, but God will lift you up and God will keep you when you accept God's call in your life. What is God calling you to do? When you accept God's assignment, y'all, God will give you peace in the middle of your chaos. God will give you peace in the midst of your storm. God will keep you like nobody can keep you. God will provide for your every need. God may not change your circumstance, but God will change you. God is more concerned about who you are becoming than what you do. Don't you know that? That in the process of being used by God and serving God and being faithful to God, you're doing something for God, but God is changing you and me from the inside out. God will strengthen you. God will help you. God will prop you up on every leaning side. God will keep you. This is my testimony this morning. God will use your pain for his glory. And eventually, y'all, God will lead you to eternal life. Yes. Well, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I'm waiting to hear God say that today. But the question at hand is, will you serve God faithfully? Will you obey him? Will you make the choice as you stand at the crossroad of life to serve God or do it your own way? So if you are here this morning and you're standing at a crossroad, you're not alone. Choose God. Choose faith over fear, obedience over comfort, purpose over popularity, and choose Jesus over everything. It starts with a relationship with him. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, we're inviting you into that relationship today. That God wants you to know him in a personal way. It starts with a relationship with Jesus. Everything starts with Jesus. It all starts with him. The word says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all is sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6, 26, that we find eternal life is a gift from God Almighty. Romans 5 and 8, because of his love for you and for me, Jesus paid the death penalty for your sins. And we confess and we repent our sins against the holy God. Romans chapter 10, confess Jesus is Lord and Savior. Believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead and you are saved. Will you believe that about God this morning? Ask God to save you and he will. If you're here today and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, you have to recognize that you are a sinner who needs to be saved. And God wants you to be in a saving relationship with him. It only happens through Jesus. That we confess, we agree with God about our sins. We repent, we turn from our sins. We ask Jesus to save us by his grace, his unmerited favor. We turn over our lives to the rule of Jesus and we allow him to be the Lord of our lives. If you're here today and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, we invite you in this moment. That's the most important moment in this worship experience. To know that you're in a saving relationship with Jesus. Our ushers are standing in the aisles, their hands are extended. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Speak to the hearts of people that are gathered here today. Move by your power. Touch hearts right now. If you're here this morning, you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, won't you get up from where you are? Follow our ushers out. They'll take you across the hallway where you will meet with one of our new member ministry advisors. They'll talk to you. They'll gather information and we'll welcome you with open arms. If you're here today, and you're already saved, you already have a relationship with Jesus, but you're not connected to a local fellowship where you can serve with other believers, pray with other believers. Living Faith Community Church is a great place to be. It's a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. Won't you come today? Our hands are extended. Won't you come right now? Won't you come? Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not. Won't you come right now?
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.